Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me on the show today.
Good morning.
We'll announce bigger news with Joy coming up soon. Don't want to give away too much early in the show. She had a great weekend. We had a great weekend. It was a great NFL Sunday.
It was very exciting. Not so much for the kickers, but everyone else on the field.
Yeah, and then we had to suffer through watching the Giants on TV again. Let me start with this. Is that yesterday was a really, 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 really bad day for one player in the NFL, and he didn't play Le'Veon Bell. Because yesterday, Blake Bortles, who is sort of a, you know, marginal NFL quarterback, did not have Leonard Fournette, his star running back. And Blake Bortles dominated the current NFL dynasty, the New England Patriots. Dominated. In fact, Blake Bortles on third down, when you really need that running back, Leonard Fournette didn't even dress, wasn't in the game. And Jacksonville's offense, I don't think I've ever seen Blake Bortles, especially on third down, be that effective. By the way, Atlanta did not have Devontae Freeman, and they dropped 31 points on the best front seven, arguably, in the NFL. The Carolina Panthers. Tampa Bay doesn't have a running back that's combined in two games for 100 yards. They've scored 48 and 37 points. The Steelers scored 37 without Le'Veon Bell. Arizona's got David Johnson. He's amazing. David Johnson's amazing. Arizona can't pick up first downs. If you're Le'Veon Bell, if you're an actor, and you're like, I'm not going to work. I want a new contract. And they release the movie anyway. And it gets a 98 on Rotten Tomatoes and sells out theaters. Good luck in your contract negotiations. They don't need you. Go back to the deodorant commercials because they don't need you. The New York Giants, number two pick, Saquon Barkley. Oh, you got a bunch of catches, bunch of runs. Exciting. They can't score. They can't score. Aaron Rodgers has no running game whatsoever and just dropped 29 against the number one defense in the NFL. Le'Veon Bell. That was a bad day for you. Blake Bortles has never looked that good. He was really good on third down. And New England's defense this year is good enough to win a Super Bowl. Not saying they will, but it's better than last year. The Jags had T.J. Yeldon. He was fine. He's not Leonard Fournette, but he was fine. If you look at the five leading rushers, you're not going to believe this, currently in the NFL. Let's put this list up. Matt Breida, San Francisco, undrafted. Joe Mixon, now hurt. Philip Lindsay, undrafted. Lamar Miller, his team is 0-2. James Conner is a career backup. You're demanding a long-term contract? I mean, I was thinking about this morning. When is the last, and I don't even, I was walking to the set this morning. When is the last time that a team won a Super Bowl and it felt like they were sort of led by the running back? Denver, Terrell Davis. What is that, 30 years ago? Denver's gone through nine quarterbacks then. And by the way, that Denver team had a defense and John Elway. That was the last time I really felt like a running back was leading a team to the Super Bowl. Because John Elway, for years and years and years and years, 15 years, couldn't win a Super Bowl, would go to the Super Bowl and get blown out. Because it was like Aaron Rodgers. It was too reliant on John Elway. Didn't have help. They got him a running back, Terrell Davis, and for a couple years, they were just knocking people out. But you're sitting there, Le'Veon Bell, yesterday, and I know you want to go and do emojis, and I like Le'Veon Bell. He's a good kid, and he's a good back. I think he could really help certain teams in this league, especially teams with young quarterbacks and bad offensive lines like the New York Jets. He could help them. He could help Buffalo that doesn't have a quarterback, and they're rebuilding their offensive line. You put him on a Pittsburgh team with Big Ben, with Antonio Brown, with Juju Smith-Schuster, with a veteran coaching staff, with two Pro Bowlers on the offensive line, that was a bad day for Le'Veon Bell. Because Jacksonville's offense and Blake Bortles have never, ever been that effective on third down late in the game beating a quality team. At 15 years old, we all make choices. You choose running back over quarterback, running back over receiver, running back over cornerback, running back over pass rusher. This is your reality. You don't mean as much. All right, let me shift to this. There were four games yesterday in the NFL that were just fun to watch. Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Steelers, Chiefs was crazy. Fireworks show. Minnesota, Green Bay, couldn't turn it off. New England Jags went down to the end. Very entertaining. I thought Atlanta, Carolina, a lot of points, a lot of movement, a lot of stars, star quarterbacks. But the reason those eight teams and those four games were really, really good, nobody was using a backup quarterback. So this morning, everybody's freaking out in Green Bay. They're overreacting to the penalty on Clay Matthews of the Packers on a hit on Kirk Cousins. Now, first of all, it was a bang, bang play. And, of course, this was a penalty on Clay Matthews. I probably would not have called it myself. But it wasn't the hit. It was that, quote, he lifted and drove a quarterback into the ground, which is really arguable. But Green Bay fans, I want to give you a heads up. You do realize the reason there's actually an emphasis on this in the NFL, Joy, is because what happened to your quarterback last year, Aaron Rodgers? That's why there is an overemphasis on this play call. Listen, the NBA, 30% of the NBA, and I'm being nice, is unwatchable, non-competitive. There's really only one team in the NFL that's unwatchable, Buffalo. Why? They don't have a quarterback. NFL football last year, ratings went down. You can tell me a million reasons why, Trump, Kaepernick, blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you one of the reasons why. We had too many good quarterbacks hurt. We had too many good quarterbacks in the NFL last year got hurt. And NFL football, even if everybody else in the field is really, really talented, is not that much fun to watch. New York Giants are a great example when your quarterback stinks. The New York Giants have players everywhere except at one spot where they're shot. Okay, there's only one team in the NFL right now that is hard to watch. I mean, they're just, I mean, Arizona is losing, but Buffalo's unwatchable. They can't get the quarterback right. And I'm just, there are certain things I'm okay in society if we're overly cautious. I would rather have overly protective parents opposed to parents who aren't paying attention. I'm okay with overly protective parents. I hear this crowd, let them hit, let them play. All right, then Aaron Rodgers, you do realize, is still not 100%. If you just want to let them hit and let them play, who's the best quarterback in the NFC North? Aaron Rodgers. Who has the two best defensive fronts? Vikings, Bears. You're right, Green Bay fans. Let's just let them play and let them hit and let them drive quarterbacks into the ground. Because I watched Aaron Rodgers yesterday. He's not 100%. And you don't have a running game. And Aaron Rodgers does not audible out of sacks. And he runs around a lot. Tom Brady doesn't get hit. Aaron gets hit all the time. Yesterday, four or five times. Just taking shots. And you're complaining? Minnesota won 13 games with Case Keenum. The Bears will win 7 or 8 with Mitch Trubisky. You guys were the Browns last year when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And you're complaining about that? It's like when people complain about, they go to the airport. And they complain about, oh, your plane is late because they're fixing the plane. And people are like, I can't believe it. My flight is delayed. I can't believe my flight is delayed. And I'm like, yeah, they're getting parts so it doesn't drop out of the sky.
That's literally the only time you shouldn't be annoyed that yes. Your flight is delayed.
You should literally walk up to people at an airport and go, what's wrong? We have to get some additional parts and check maintenance.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. That or flying into horrific weather.
Like, yes.
Good looking out.
Yeah. We're going to change the flight plan a little to help you
survive.
Remain alive. I mean, when I hear Green Bay people complaining about the Clay Matthews hit, yes, it's bang, bang. I wouldn't have called it, but there is an emphasis on this. Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, about 7-8 years ago, he went to the commissioner, Roger Goodell, and said, listen, man, our league is not nearly as good when the quarterback play is bad. So one of the reasons the current quarterback rating in the NFL this weekend was 105.1. Why? Because we got a lot of starting quarterbacks that are upright. Do you know Aaron Rodgers' career passer rating is lower than the average quarterback rating in the NFL yesterday? This league's all offense now. It is you can't win just with a defense. You can't. If you could win just with a defense, the New York Jets would be a viable team to win a Super Bowl. They're not. They're going to be a 7-9 football team with a rookie quarterback throwing 19 picks. But of all the fan bases that shouldn't complain about that call, it's Green Bay's. There's a reason there's an emphasis. Because of your guy getting hit by Minnesota.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Former number one pick, played 10 NFL seasons, Giants, 49ers, Panthers, and Texans. David Carr, an excellent analyst right now at the NFL Network. And yes, the older brother of Derek Carr. That needs to be noted as well. By the way, can you explain something to me? I was saying Cleveland's been bad for years, so they've accumulated really good defensive players. Okay, they got a bunch of top picks.
Right.
And you watch Tampa, and in that division, they've kind of been a doormat. And I'm watching some of their players, and I'm like, they got a bunch of good players.
Play.
That said, what do you make of Ryan Fitzpatrick? Fitzmagic, what do you make of this?
I first saw Ryan in Houston around 2005.
All right.
And he shows up on the field. We're up 21-0 in the first half. Okay. And I'm like, who's this kid from? What is this, Ivy League school? He's Ivy?
Yeah.
Is that right? And
yeah, Harvard.
Touchdowns all over the place, onside kick, and the Fitzmagic was real 13, 14 years ago. So, I mean, the guy can play. And what happens is, as a quarterback, if you get older, if you're healthy enough, and you can survive as long as he's survived,
yes.
There's nothing you haven't seen. You've seen every coverage. You've had a bazillion reps at all these throws that he's making to these guys. Oh, and by the way, just like you mentioned, crazy talent. They got a ton of talent. O.J. Howard, Deshaun Jackson, Mike Evans.
These are big time
players. And he's a guy that can get them the football. And he understands his job. He knows how to get it out with pace and accurate. I mean, it's not a fluke.
No, David, you're actually saying what Tom Brady told Jay Glazer a couple years ago. And Jay Glazer talked to Tom Brady at camp, and he goes, "How long can you go?" And he's like, "Listen, man, I've mastered it.
That's it.
You can't fool me anymore."
That's exactly right.
So if I can keep my shoulders right,
if I can stay healthy, if I can have enough avocado ice cream, I'm good. I'm going to be just fine.
Okay, let's talk about, you know, the elephant in the room. I said I worried there, David, there are industries like the post office. I could leave for 10 years, come back, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
If you leave Silicon Valley for 2 weeks, It's like...
It's fast you by.
Okay.
Yeah.
NFL, the games don't even look on TV like they used to 7 years ago.
Right.
John Gruden was gone for a decade. I know he was close. I know he did the TV stuff, but he wasn't in the room.
Yeah.
Guys are more political now. Guys are more empowered. Quarterbacks. We got wide receivers now, like Brandon Cook's making a fortune.
Right.
Now, yesterday, your brother had some very nice numbers, but you can't just be best friends with a quarterback. I worry about the room with John Gruden. Am I being hyperbolic or is it fair?
No, it's a healthy fear. I mean, I think this is natural. You know, you've been away from the game for 10 years. Players are different now. I mean,
it's not
the same as it used to be. So I think that you have to treat him a little bit different. I mean, his relationship with Derek is great. I think they've gotten along great ever since they came in. They've been working hard together. They show up in the morning. They have breakfast. They meet every morning. That's all fine. And Derek played well yesterday. So, yeah. And they're going to continue to improve on offense. They're going to get better and better. Amari Cooper targeted 10 times, had 10 catches. Yeah. I mean, that's good stuff. I haven't seen Amari do that in a while. So on the defensive side of the ball, though, that's the concerning part. I think that's something that's just not going to go away. You traded away arguably your best player, you know, one of the best players in the league. And the last two games, trying to close out games, or especially in this last game, there's no pass rush.
No. I'm watching yesterday, and I'm like, oh, God, did they need a pass rush?
Yeah, it made it hard. And Arden Key is gassed. Bruce is gassed. You need some depth. You got to rotate guys. Whatever you got to do. But if you watch those last couple pass rushes, and those guys were playing, they're playing their heart out. They're trying to get to Case, but they just didn't have anything left. So you got to find ways. And Paul Gunther has done a good job. And I think that, honestly, I think their defense is going to be better this year.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're going to have more turnovers. I think they might even have more sacks just based on pressure, but it's not going to be a one-man show like Khalil used to be. They're going to have to do it with multiple guys, and you can't get gassed and run out of the tank at the end.
David Carr, the older brother of Derek Carr, NFL Network number one pick, decade in the league. You're talking about quarterbacks and safety. And you know, I'm a believer this league is much better with starting quarterbacks. Carson Wentz, that's nothing against Nicky Foles. It's fine.
Sure.
Carson is a spectacular, kind of a generational talent.
MVP candidate last year.
Andrew Luck. There's a handful of these guys. Aaron, we all know who they are.
Yeah.
Is that, so in Clay Matthews, I would not have called this roughing the passer. But I do get airlines putting an emphasis and being overly cautious on safety.
I'm with you.
And I do get why this was called.
I'm with you on all of that. I think that when you look at it, like no one wants to watch. I was a backup quarterback for several years in my career. No one wants to watch the backup quarterback play. They want to see Kirk, they want to see Aaron Rodgers. They want to see Tom Brady. They want to see these guys. That same play is how Aaron Rodgers was knocked out of the game by Anthony Barr last year.
It's the putting your body weight. Exactly. And I like that call, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. But the hard part is, what is Clay supposed to do? That's where I'm a quarterback, and I'm all for them calling these penalties and keeping the quarterback safe and for these guys playing into their 40s. But at the same time, I don't know what Clay Matthews was supposed to do, because if you do that and you don't wrap up, if you just hit a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger or Russell Wilson or any of these guys, Carson Wentz can spin out of plays. If you start allowing these guys to just kind of be bumped and knocked over, they're going to break tackles. It's going to ruin that part of the game. It's going to be really difficult.
Yeah, and this is one I don't love, because I really do feel like, because it's an arm tackle, and you know, Kirk's about 6'4 and about 225.
Yeah, he's not a little guy.
Yeah, Kirk's about your size. He's a big guy. I kind of felt like this with the arm, I'm going to let you drive a little. And by the way, his helmet's kind of away from the player.
It is. But I mean, when you watch it, I mean, what else? Like when he's about
Clay's
to go down,
there.
Do you let go? Even then, you're going to land on him. I just don't know physically. You heard Harrison Smith say this a couple weeks ago, and he was at the podium talking about something similar to this. It was more down the field contact. But he said, we're all for safety. We don't want to take anyone out of the game. We want to play clean, hit guys hard, but it has to be physically possible. And that's what he said. And he was really, you could tell he was racking his brain trying to think, how can we make this safe, but at the same time still allow us to play football? Because that's what you don't want to take away. You don't want to turn into flag football. No one wants that.
You don't. Okay, so Patrick Mahomes. I know Andy Reid. I love Andy Reid. He's a great play designer. Yeah. And there's not Sean McVay. I mean, listen, I know guys like you listen to guys like me, if you ever do, and you think, yeah, Coward's just chalking. But I can watch the Rams and go, that's a good play design.
You guys know. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody knows. You can see good play design.
Okay,
yeah.
Sean Payton, you're like, oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
You see it a lot in the red zone. Like with McVay, you're
creativity
like,
stands
okay,
out.
Okay,
yeah.
Andy Reid is a really good play designer. Yes. So how much is that Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes? Now, so when you watch Patrick Mahomes, people are freaking out. It's a fireworks show.
Sure.
What do you see?
I see. Well, so first of all, with Andy Reid, so when he made the decision to let Alex Smith go walk for a guy that hasn't played, you thought to yourself, man, this guy, is he crazy? But then I tend to lean towards, I'm trusting the guy that's making this decision. That's his livelihood. It's not my livelihood. It's your livelihood. You're letting Alex Smith walk. A guy that's Pro Bowl quarterback, got you the playoffs. Right. He said Alex Smith was perfect for his system. I wish I had Alex my entire career. He'd be a Hall of Fame player. He said all that. He let him go. He let him walk for this guy, for Patrick. When I saw Patrick the first time on film, I'm on my way out to the combine to see him. I said, where has this guy been? Am I a bad college football fan because I didn't watch this kid play enough? And then he goes out there and live and in person, the ball jumps off his hand. And then when I see him in Andy Reid's system, Andy has done a great job. The only thing that I was concerned about watching Patrick in college was that he makes a lot of plays that are just kind of like gunslinger, falling backwards, big throws.
A lot of this stuff, like he sometimes, you know, Chris Carter, the great football player, said it's almost biblical. When you have a gift, you want to use it.
Absolutely.
If you're a great singer, you'll sing in the car, you'll sing in the shower.
No doubt, everywhere.
Mahomes has so much faith in his arm.
Yeah.
He can kind of just sling
it. Yeah, he does. But he makes great throws, and I think the magic of what Andy Reid has done is not necessarily just his scheme, which is great, and he's got like, but how he's able to rein him in to where it just get the ball, and you even hear Patrick talk, I just got to get the ball to my playmakers. Like, to tell a guy that's been a wild stallion out in the prairie, just running free,
right?
All you got to do is get it to your playmakers. Just be calm.
So he's got the right mindset.
He's got the right mindset. He's doing a fantastic job of coaching this kid. And then the thing about guys with big arms like that, they can get in trouble, but they also don't hesitate. Like, his arm strength becomes even more amplified, because guys with mediocre arm strength is going to be like, I don't know, I'm going to hesitate a second.
He's a go-for-it guy.
He's just, I see it, I'm ripping it, and it's coming out at 70 miles an hour, and it's on the money, and then you have 10 touchdown passes in 2 weeks. And so it kind of takes the league by storm, but when you got a guy that's well-coached, great scheme, great players, that kind of talent, and has kind of reined him in enough to play quarterback in the league, you got a special player.
The Dallas Cowboys, David, are going to have a decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
The average quarterback passer rating yesterday in the league was a 105, okay? Some of that's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's pretty good.
But that's better than Aaron Rodgers' all-time passer rating. We have new legislation. You can't hit the quarterback. The field's more spread out. Nobody's huddling. Defensive guys are gassed.
Yeah.
I like so many things about Dak. But when I watch these combos, Wentz is back, as Joy said, Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Goff, McVay, Shanahan, Jimmy G. Yeah. Okay, those guys are around for another decade.
Yeah.
My feeling on Dak is I like him. But when you see these quarterback coach combos, we'll put them up here, just in the NFC,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be there for 8 to 10 years, except Breeze.
Yeah.
I watch Dak and I see a lower ceiling. I like him.
Sure.
Do you pull the trigger?
I don't think that you really hesitate. I mean, because look at that. I mean, you have what we got five there.
Yeah.
And I would argue that maybe Mike McCarthy, not so much as it is Aaron Rodgers, is just great.
Yeah.
Those other guys are great play callers. I think those guys are the cream of the crop as far as play calling offensive minds. But look how many, there's 32 teams, and that's a small list. So every team that's out there is looking for one of those guys. You have a good quarterback in Dak Prescott. The way they ran offense yesterday is the way they have to run offense for the rest of the time that he's their quarterback. Involve him in the run game with Zeke. He's not Tony Romo. Don't make him Tony Romo. Don't spend the entire offseason trying to turn him into something that he's not. Put him in the run game. Design some runs for him. He'll have some hidden yards, as we like to call it, in the quarterback room. I don't know what his rushing yards were yesterday, but it was significant, and he made some big-time first-down runs. And then he'll throw it when there's one-on-ones. He'll make some of the, he'll miss some of those throws, too. He had a tight end wide open in the end zone. He missed him. Yeah. It happens. It's Dak, right? He's just not there yet. If he grows and matures into a better passer, and he turns into a Russell Wilson now from the pocket, boom, voila, you're great. But you don't have to pay him as much as one of those guys.
Now, that's the interesting point.
You can put a lot of bodies around him. You can get a great offensive line. You can put some more pieces on defense. Maybe go find a wide receiver or a Le'Veon Bell, which you don't need. But I'm saying, like, that kind of dynamic player around him, right? And just run behind Zeke. Let Zeke do it. You know, Travis Frederick's not out there, but you didn't need him. You designed runs for him, and they did a good job yesterday. I mean, I think that's the way. If he doesn't play 15 years, it's fine. If he gets beat up, you had 10 years of great football or 8 years of great football with Dak. That's the way they have to play offense. If you're Lanahan or you're Jason Garrett, you just got to do it that way.
So Josh Allen of the Bills had some moments yesterday. Sam Darnold, first 2 weeks, 1-1, had some great moments, had some ugly picks. I believe you, if you ran Cleveland, would you just say, the hell, just go Baker Mayfield?
I would. I don't know. I mean, here's what happened. So yesterday they're winning the football game.
Yeah.
And Tyrod or whatever we're calling him now,
yeah,
does the one thing that he can't do, and he turns the football over.
Yeah.
In a one-score game, he turned it over. And he made some big plays, too. I mean, he came back, you know, in his defense, makes a great throw.
That's a great throw.
I mean, Callaway's not even running. And then he sees the ball, and he's like, I gotta go get this thing. And that's Taylor just saying, I'm gonna make a play here. So that's great. I think that Baker Mayfield showed enough in the preseason to where you could put him out there. And this team's good enough they could protect him. And he makes throws down the field. He's consistent with those throws. I liked him in the combine. When I went out there and saw him, I was surprised by his arm strength and his ability to throw the football. Tyrod, he's a good player. Right? But the ceiling, like we talked about earlier with some other guys, it's not as high. And maybe you don't care. Maybe if you're the Browns, you want to win 5 games. Let's try and win one first, right? But I think that, and in the age we're in now, Baker is ready to go out there.
I would not have drafted Baker, but my takeaway was always there were three of these guys that were ready to at least win games. Rosen, who hasn't played yet, Darnold, and Baker.
Yeah.
Now, I think Baker's ceiling's lower, in my opinion, than Darnold's.
I agree with you.
I like Darnold more.
I like Sam a lot.
I think he's a little bigger, a little stronger athlete.
He does more dynamic things from the pocket.
Right. Yeah. But if you look at Cleveland's defense, it's really, really interesting.
It is.
So you know that Baker's going to, as long as Baker doesn't throw pick six after pick six,
yeah,
Cleveland's going to be in most of the games they play this year.
I agree. And I think that he knows enough. The game has changed to where when I came out of college, I didn't know. They showed me the playbook, and I said, this is Chinese. I literally can't read this. Like, this is not what we did in Fresno. We threw slants and screens and threw some fades. But now these guys coming out, they understand the game. They're running pro-style concepts. Not only are they running pro-style concepts, the NFL has stolen some of the college concepts because there's so many good coordinators there,
yeah,
and they've brought it over. So Baker runs the RPOs, the run pass options. Like, he gets all that. He has great pocket presence, you know, for a young guy. I think the best out of all these guys, maybe not Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's right up there with him, but you could put a guy like that in there and he can protect himself and then he can grow and get experience and maybe win a couple games for you.
Okay, I liked the Jags yesterday without Leonard Fournette. I kind of felt like there are games over the course of a year that just mean more to one team. I thought it was a Super Bowl for Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I thought, and so when I came into the game,
statement for sure.
I kind of felt like I'm like, listen, New England's a little beat up at running back as well. They're not dynamic enough at wideout, and I think Jacksonville, this game, you can't fake it. That right. game meant more to you. Could tell in the first
half.
It did,
and they're young. You're a young, hungry team. You know, New England's been there. They've won games. I mean, it was a battle for Tom. Tom Brady was in the dogfight yesterday, and it almost felt like he was by himself because they did a great job taking away Gronk. They did multiple coverages, double coverages. They were coming from everywhere. They weren't giving him clean looks, so that was tough. But Blake Bortles played fantastic.
I thought that's the best I've ever seen him.
Blake Bortles played. If Blake's going to play like that, Jacksonville's a real problem for everybody in the league.
You know, David, the knock on Bortles has been, again, low ceiling. Mm-hmm. I thought when he came out, I said, he's a poor man's Andrew Luck. He's got the size and the mobility of Andrew. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be Andrew pre-snap. I don't think he's as accurate.
Yeah.
But on third down yesterday, their coaching staff told me, we trust him more now. They made throws late in the game on third down.
Yes. I mean, there's 3 minutes left in the game they're throwing it. There's a minute 20 left in the game they're throwing the football. I mean, you don't do that with a guy you don't trust.
Exactly.
You know, and so a lot of that is through the course of the game. He made some plays. Coaching staff gets a good feel. Marone's like, yeah, we trust him. Let him rip it. And there was coverage also. Belichick was, they weren't going to let him run the football over the place. They played a lot of one-on-one coverage on the outside. And those wide receivers stepped up too. They made some big-time plays. Cole made that catch on the sideline. Great blocking down the field. They were a hungry football team. Just like you said, they wanted that game. Not more than New England, because New England obviously wants to win the football game. You see Brady's competitiveness
on the
sideline.
But there was an intensity.
There was, from the defensive side.
No question.
Yep, that was a huge game for them.
Say hi to your brother, Derek, who's an amazing guy.
I will.
And what's great about you, David, you're coaching your son. I love to see NFL guys who are coaching their sons.
It's a blast, man. It's the best.
This says a lot about you and your family and Derek and David. I'd love to have you back on.
Love to.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Every Monday at this time. And we do it year-round now because people liked it so much. You told us you liked it. So sometimes I got to be honest. Sometimes I'm right. Sometimes I'm wrong. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
John, you've been with me a lot of years. First couple of weeks are always the roughest on Blazing 5, but yet somehow we had a winning week in the Blazing 5. Gutsy. Leonard Fournette was out. We still like the Jags. Gutsy. We took the Colts to go into D.C. as a touchdown dog and beat Washington. Gutsy. We like the Falcons big at home, having to surrender almost a touchdown. For the record, we like the Seahawks tonight with all their injuries. Gutsy. Blazing 5, another winning week.
Where Colin was wrong.
All right, this whole Ryan Fitzmagic thing, I didn't really see that coming. Okay, he has 400 yards each week and four touchdowns each week in the history of football. That's never happened. I'm not going to lie to you. A little bit of a surprise for me. Ryan Fitzpatrick's one of those guys. He'll do this like twice a year. Like twice a year, he just pops. Well, he's...
So you're saying it's ending?
You'd think, but here's the thing, as David Carr just said. Tampa Bay's been so bad for years, they've accumulated a lot of high draft picks on offense. They got a ton of talent offensively. Tight end, a wide receiver talent. And, you know, I mean, listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard, so we know he's probably pretty good pre-snap. Dirk Cutter, his coach, has always been an offensive guy. The question now is, what do you do with Jameis Winston? And I got to tell you something. I'm not starting Jameis Winston. If this kid keeps putting up even remotely similar numbers, I'm not... Because if you put Jameis Winston back in and he struggles, the crowd's going to be cheering for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Then you got yourself a Tebow situation in Denver and you're a mess.
I don't even think it's a question. I think you just ride this until the wheels fall off.
In the NFL, it's hard enough to win. If you're winning, let it go.
Even if... he's eventually going to lose. Like, even if he does lose a game, at least there's not dysfunction. So
I think you just got to ride it.
Right.
You go to Thanksgiving. See how you're doing.
Where Colin was right.
Matt Patricia spent his entire career with his hat on backwards. Week one, he had his hat on backwards. And I said, grow up. You look like a schmuck. Don't be that guy, that millennial. Do I got to dress like a robot? No, but you're representing an NFL franchise, Matt Patricia. Get your hat on right. And yesterday, for the first time, he heard it. He had his hat on right. I don't know if he heard me, but he heard it. I had three NFL executives this week text me after my rant ripping Patricia saying, right on. There's 32 NFL coaching jobs. Detroit in the state of Michigan, a beautiful state, very proud franchise, perhaps dysfunctional. You are representing more than yourself. I'm not asking you be George Clooney in Ocean's 11. I don't need Pierce Brosnan or James Bond. You can't be the Big Lebowski. Okay, you're coaching an NFL team. Get your hat on forward. And he did. And by the way, Detroit looked like a legitimate NFL team. They looked like a legitimate NFL team yesterday. Good for Matt Patricia.
Where Colin was wrong.
The New York Jets offense is worse. Pat Shurmur, no impact. Giants. The New York Giants offense is worse. They brought over Nate Solder, left tackle. No impact. Saquon Barkley's averaging 2.4 yards per carry. He is a nice wide receiver. Odell Beckham, congrats, slants. Does he do anything else but slants? I mean, Eli Manning's getting you 30 completions, but they're not going anywhere. I mean, honestly, I thought they upgraded their offensive line. Is Eli Manning just this shot? I mean, I thought we'd have a pulse. I thought the Giants would be interesting. I mean, you get to a point now you can't put them on television. I mean, you can't put the New York – I don't care. There's one team in New York you can put on television. They'll be on Thursday, the Jets. You can put them on television. I mean, the Giants have almost regressed offensively with an upgraded receiver, upgraded back, upgraded left tackle, upgraded coach. They're awful. God, they're awful and unwatchable.
Where Colin was right.
I told you for 2 years, Sam Darnold was hiding mediocre coaching at USC. Oklahoma is still scoring 40 a game without Baker Mayfield. USC can't get first downs without Sam Darnold. The program has completely unraveled. I've said this for years, and I said this is one of the reasons I would take Sam Darnold number one. That you can tell a person's impact not just by where they enter and land, but what happens to the place they leave. When Harbaugh left the 49ers, they fell apart. He can coach. Okay, Baker Mayfield can play, but Oklahoma's fine without Baker Mayfield. They'll score 45 a weekend. USC can't move the chains without Sam Darnold. I mean, they are unraveling. And it's not like they're playing, you know, Alabama. Texas has a new coach, couldn't stop Maryland the last 2 years. And at one point in this game, I think Texas had a 34-0 run in this football game. Brutal.
Where Colin was wrong.
Outside of Ohio State, the Big Ten is massively disappointing. This weekend, for the first time in Big Ten history, they had 7 losses to unranked teams in non-conference games. That's never happened. Nebraska lost to Troy. Wisconsin lost to BYU. Listen, the SEC, we know it has better players because you can look at the last 20 NFL drafts. But I thought the Big Ten had bridged some of the gap due to extensively... They really upgraded their coaching, but this weekend was awful. I mean, Maryland got routed by Temple. Kansas? I thought Kansas was the worst program in the country. They beat Rutgers by 40. Akron beat Northwestern. BYU. I mean, there have been BYU teams that are pretty good. This isn't one of them. My bad.
Where Colin was right.
We were the only media outlet in America that Wednesday and Thursday told you Aaron Rodgers would play.
Ooh, so did you talk to your source?
I did, and it was, Joey, you and I have been doing this a long time, and we all have sources.
Right.
Okay. This was the strangest source I've ever had. It was 100% accurate. I cannot at the current time divulge it because the source contacted me yesterday and said, I may give you another story before the end of the year. Maybe I'll write a book someday when I retire and tell you the source. But it was 100% accurate. I knew it by late Wednesday, early Thursday that Aaron Rodgers was going to play. And I wouldn't have gone on the air if I didn't believe it. Telling you folks, Big J journalism right here every week.
So your source would also not like you to tell
where I got it from.
Like not who they are, but like... You said it was a weird situation.
Let's just say it's too close to Aaron Rodgers to divulge Aaron Rodgers news. And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Where Colin was wrong.
Ed Orgeron, I've always thought, is an amazing football coach, but I wouldn't name him my head coach. Well, I watched LSU beat Auburn this weekend in Auburn, and fourth quarter comeback. They look well coached. They really do. Ed has figured out 4-2 against the top 10, 24-8 as a head coach at USC, briefly in LSU. Ed is never going to be Saban, okay? But he's incredibly real, 100% authentic, an incredibly nice guy. Players love him, a tremendous motivator. And I got to be honest, one of the reasons I didn't have LSU top 10 was Ed Orgeron. I said, listen, I'd name him my defensive line coach, maybe not my defensive coordinator. I don't know if he's a guy that can lead a program. They've been great. They have looked absolutely well-coached in both their games this year. I'm wrong so far on Ed Orgeron and LSU. They look like a team that can compete for the national championship. You go to Auburn and win, and it's a real Auburn team. You go to Auburn and win, you can win the national title.
Where Colin was right.
I said before the season that the Rams had the best roster, but nobody wants to say it. From kicker to punter to head coach to defensive coordinator to the roster, the Rams are dropping 35 points yesterday, and I'm not sure they clicked. Do you realize? Think about this. The LA Rams, since Sean McVay took over, think about this, Joy. In the 18 games he's coached, have scored over 30 11 times. And that's having to resurrect Jared Goff's career, which appeared dead. I mean, I'm watching them yesterday. I don't even think they played well, and they dropped 35. But a lot of people, there's a resentment about L.A. We all knew LeBron was going to be a Laker. But if you say it, you're not going to go to L.A. Yeah, he had two homes here. All his friends live here. All his businesses are here. Magic Johnson here. Yeah, he'd never go to L.A. It was a slam dunk. Even Jerry West admitted it after it happened. You just don't want to admit it because you don't want to see L.A. win because there's a resentment about, you know, L.A. They are ridiculous. Coaching, kicking, punting, O-line, D-line. Secondary is stacked.
Again, it's also, they're just very disciplined in their image. Also, you just don't hear a lot from them. I mean, if you compare just the Steelers to the Rams, it's like they're all just quiet. And for Los Angeles, it's so out of character. But I think it's a reflection of how Sean McVay just directs the team. That's how Sean McVay is. They're a reflection of him.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
When you marry somebody, you know, my takeaway is expectations. So if you marry somebody and you marry somebody that's safe, that's fine. But you could get bored, and you're supposed to be married for life. So if you marry somebody that is a little risky but just does it for you, well, 20, 30 years from now, they probably still do it for you. As long as your expectations are realistic with Dak Prescott, you won't be disappointed. Listen, Dak Prescott was passed over by 32 teams in this league three times. I've been pretty accurate through the years on quarterbacks. You know, I'm pretty good on not going to work, going to work kind of, disaster, really good. I miss some, but NFL people miss some. People passed on Russell Wilson. Dak's not Russell Wilson. When I'm watching him yesterday, if you take out the Tavon Austin home run early, they passed for 87 yards, okay, the rest of the game. There's a lot of qualities about Dak I like. I think he's kind of a durable guy. He's a mobile guy. The team feels like they're in control with him. He's very safe. He's not going to lose a lot of games for you. But if you get into a relationship with somebody and one of their primary assets is they're safe, you know, they keep a good checkbook, they'll never get you in trouble, they're incredibly dependable, there's nothing wrong with that. But you may get bored and you may get really frustrated if that doesn't align with your expectations. And Jerry Jones wants to win Super Bowls. Now, Jerry Jones recently, last week, said this about Dak Prescott going forward.
We've got a quarterback that is somewhere between the one that you saw with the Rams last night and Cam Newton. He can do some of what both of those guys do. Well, you know it's there. You know he's got it.
Okay, therein lies the problem. He's not close to Cam Newton as a physical specimen, and he's not Jared Goff the thrower. So if Jerry's going to get in this relationship, and he's using Cam, who physically outside of Big Ben, not a lot of guys have played the position look like Cam and throw like Cam. Or you're going to use Jared Goff, who's going to have Sean McVay as his coach, Todd Gurley. Those expectations are not lined up with reality. I like Dak. There's a lot I like about him. And when he hasn't played for them in the last 3 years, they've been a mess. He offers durability, mobility. I think it's a sustainability, but the ceiling's low. It's really low. And when you look around the NFC and I got McVay and Goff together, and I got, Sark and Matt Ryan are getting better, and I got Breeze and Peyton together, and I got Jimmy G and Shanahan together, and I got Aaron Rodgers' talent, safe is going to have so many good players around it to burst through those teams, you could be very disappointed. What worries me about Jerry is he's like, well, you see some Cam and you see some Goff. That's not what anybody in the league sees. Nobody sees almost Cam or throws like Goff. No. Nobody sees that. So if you're going to marry safe and reliable, get ready for a life of safe and reliable. Not going to be a lot of firework shows. Not going to be a lot of chaos. But I think what Dak is showing us is what many scouts said when they passed on him. Arm talent, average to below average. Not the kind of guy that can carry an average roster. Cam has carried some average players. Goff, I think, I have two friends on the Rams staff. Goff is a special player. Goff, to me, is a better Matt Ryan long term. And Matt Ryan's pretty good.